something for the weekend on Saturday. Thrilled to have Andrea Corr on the line. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm delighted to hear the Corrs are back. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you have got a new album of Christmas songs. This is very exciting. Is this something, is this the time of year that you really love?
Well, I mean, I do love the music of Christmas anyway. And, you know, now that I have children, there's such magic in Christmas. You know, it is a lovely time to, you know, relax. But also it's a very nostalgic time. You know, it's not all jolly, but... Yeah, I do love the music of Christmas.
Yeah. I suppose like yourself, like when your parents are gone and things like that, it does make you think, oh, about the people who aren't here. But the children, how old are your kids now?
10 and 8.
Yeah, so they're still excited and delighted. Yeah. Santa Claus is coming.
And I know, very excited.
And the lists are done, are they?
Yes, they are. They're done.
Brilliant.
Ready to go.
Brilliant. Ours was posted there the other day. The excitement was unreal. do you remember anything years ago when you were a kid, Andrea, that that you asked Santa Claus for? Because I always have this memory of, do you remember in the 80s there was a thing called an a la carte kitchen? And it was like a little mini kitchen and you brought it up the stairs and it had wheels on it. And the idea was you were to bring your mum and dad breakfast in bed. I mean, the health and safety rules obviously didn't exist back then.
Just kids doing that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And Santa Claus actually never brought it to me. I was disgusted. And I still think about it now at age 41.
Safety.
Yeah. Was there anything that that kind of stuck out in your memory of being wow, a present that you got?
There was this little dog that I loved that I wheeled around. Yeah. it wasn't real, but absolutely loved that. That's a very early one. And then there was obviously the Fisher Price record players, and then when I got older, it was like Walkman, that kind of music things. And Ghetto Blaster.
If you said to your kids about a Walkman, they'd look at you like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What's a tape?
I know, and Ghetto Blaster, and what's a tape? I know.
And you had to have the Ghetto Blaster on your shoulder to look extra cool, didn't you?
I didn't quite do that, but it was possible.
Yeah, because I remember I had an older sister and she used to always bring us into, because I lived in Dublin, but she'd bring us into Temple Bar. And Crown Alley was the place to be, like, you know, when we were growing up. And she'd go into all these little vintage shops. And it's just gas. The memories are great. But I always remember Christmas time was when we used to always go in there. I say she must have had a few bob. She was going in to spend her money. And that was it. So are you still living in Ireland? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
OK.
Yeah.
Were you tempted to move off? No.
No. Like, I have been away. Like, I lived in Washington for a few years in the States and then lived in London. But now I'm very happy to be home here.
Are you? Yeah. Do you feel quite removed when you're living so far away?
Yeah, but also it's just a kind of, we share the same humour. It's just different everywhere. You know, I just remember coming back from Washington and just going out and laughing my head off for the night. So there's just that. Element.
The people here are more sound.
Yeah. We're sounder. Yeah, we like to say that.
We like to slag each other, and they're probably too polite to do that in Washington.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of that's funny. Yeah. With no laughter.
That's funny, no laughter.
And zero laughter.
I know exactly what you mean, that's gas. Did you ever find that actually doing, you know, I always see that, you know, when people are doing interviews and, you know, when you would be doing your music interviews all around the world, some journalists are so serious and you're like, this is going to be zero crack.
Yeah, you know, there was definitely, I mean, you know, different cultures and people want different things. But I do remember in Japan, interviews were extremely detailed on like a song. And because it would take translation as well, you'd need the question translated and then you'd need the answer translated. We'd end up with that kind of going into monosyllables, yes. And the translator would be making them up.
Are you still as close to your siblings as you were at the height of the Corrs? I had Sharon Corr in studio with me. I say Sharon Corr, I'm your sister, many years ago. But I think she's the only Corr I've met and I never got to meet you in person. But are you still as close as you would have been?
Look, I mean, we are. I mean, we're quite a strange family in that we work together. And I think that, you know, sometimes I think one of our greatest achievements is actually that we've remained friends. Because it isn't easy to work together with your family. You know, it's normal. People flee the nest and do their own thing. And but yeah, we get on very well and have good laughs together. Yeah. Mm.
Was it kind of an overnight success for the Corrs? Because obviously we never saw the work that was going on in the background. We just saw the huge, huge success. And I remember going to see at Lansdowne Road, and I'm not sure what year that was. Maybe you can recall, can you?
I do know. It was 99 because my mum passed away that year, yeah.
Wow. Was that the summertime then of 99?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
wasn't it
a really lovely day? I would have just turned 18. Did it take a long time to get to that, or did it all happen quite quickly for you?
No, it took a long time. I mean, it looked like it was on the outside, but and I suppose it does for everybody. You know, we started when I was 15. So, I mean, and then we kind of worked on writing our songs, and then we eventually got a record deal 4 years later. And then, yeah, I mean, it was really the second record that really took off everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it drew attention to the first record that we
made. So what was the second one and what was the first one? Remind us.
First record was Forgiven Not Forgotten, and the second record was Talking Corners.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, some of the songs were just incredible. And when you actually list them off, you go, oh my God, I want to listen to the Corrs. And this is great because the Corrs are making a comeback. And I saw you were in Australia and there was a big fanfare, basically, wasn't there? They made a big deal of the Corrs.
They did make a big... Well, you know, Australia was like one of the first places for us to, you know, for our music to be popular. And it was a shock when we got over there. We didn't realise... you know, I remember I was we just landed in Australia and I heard that had the radio on in the room and they were going, so I'd say the Corrs have arrived. And I thought Big Brother was in the room. What is this going on? But yeah, we got such a welcome there. Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan then with the comeback?
Oh, comeback. I never think that we go away, really. But yeah, we're just going to do some dates. That's the plan.
Okay. But you can't tell us where or when or...
Well, there's definitely Australia.
Okay.
That's confirmed.
Right, yeah. Okay. Ireland has to happen.
And New Zealand.
Then.
We'll see.
I go on.
You will.
You will. That must have been actually, when you're saying how, you know, you started at 15. So most 15-year-olds have either no clue what they want to be or else they're going to study really hard and they're going to be a doctor or they're going to be... So when I was that age, I was going to be a pop star, although I couldn't sing, or else I was going to be on the radio. So the radio thing worked out.
That's
but
good.
Obviously your plan was always to do music, was it?
Well, you know, it wasn't really a plan. It kind of was, you know, our house was immersed in music. Our parents were musicians.
Mm.
It was, so I suppose there was an inevitability about it. I loved singing, loved songs and music. So I suppose, you know, I think because it was like a family thought, you know, Jim was older than us. I don't feel I ever really made a decision. I still am wondering, will I do it or not?
Yeah, I get you. But I say when yous all went off then on the first tour, your poor mum and dad.
I know. It was. But like at the same time, it was bittersweet. They were, you know, it was absolutely... They were ecstatic about our music and, you know, like it. So in some ways it was amazing. You know, they were so excited for us going off to make a record with David Foster. But I mean, I know I've seen the video of them at the airport and they're upset. It's actually very sad to look at.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's funny because actually when you think of back then, like now when kids go away and they go to Australia for the year or whatever, they go to America, they're still in contact because of social media. They can FaceTime, they can, you know, do all these, they can do Zoom calls, whatever. But we're talking the 90s. You couldn't do that.
Oh,
I remember
my sister
went to Australia for a year, I think around 1998. Yeah, writing a letter to her and then like a few weeks later getting a reply.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we wrote letters. Now, they did come out to us for a few weeks when we were there. But yeah, that must have been hard.
Did they smuggle food with them? Because my mum went over and surprised my sister. She arrived on the doorstep and she had all the Super Quinn sausages vacuum packed.
I don't remember. They might have.
Because you can get these care packages, of course, sent all around the world now. When you first kind of had that really, really big worldwide success, were you quite intimidated by the type of people in the business that you were meeting, or did you care?
Oh, God, I felt intimidated. Yeah, well, I was definitely pretty shy and very self-conscious. You know, I mean, first of all, making the first record, David Foster was producing it and he just won a load of Grammys for, you know, Whitney Houston and The Bodyguard.
Mm.
So I did feel very Yeah, very. Oh, yeah, I suppose it was intimidating. Mm. But yeah, got on with it.
You had to. You were there to make the record.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. And would you have known a lot of the people in, you know, in the Irish music circuit before you went off? Like, would you have known, I say the Irish music circuit, but they're worldwide stars like Bono and all these. Would you have known them?
Not when we first started. Yeah. You know, we met along the way.
I hear there's going to be some TV appearances coming up, and a little birdie tells me that Cliff Richard may be involved in one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he's got a Christmas TV show. I think it's on the 17th on BBC Two. So I'm singing with him on that, and then I sing one of the songs that are on this Christmas album I've done.
God, hasn't he had some career? I remember my mom followed him when she was a teenager, and there he is, still singing away.
I would say that my parents sang, and my mum, I'd say, probably sang, and dad, I'd say, played some of the songs.
Yeah.
You know, in their band.
And to think there you are now, singing with him, isn't that incredible?
I know.
Yeah. So how do the kids take to mom now, being back out doing all this, and were they aware what you were doing for a living?
Oh, yeah, they are aware, but they're not very interested. Like, I come home from doing the Late Late Show a little bit ago, and they hadn't watched it.
You're like, thanks for the support, yeah.
That's what I'm dealing with. I come in the door. Jeannie likes what I wear, but other than that, yeah.
So, Jeff,
and it was very grounding, my hands, very grounding.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They'll tell you how it is. That's the thing with kids, isn't it? They'll just tell you the truth. Have they any interest in music?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're good at I think they're very musical ear, and each of them. And and they play the piano. Mm. But again, I think I've kind of turned them off it somehow because I do it. I just don't know what it is. So I don't really say anything about it. I realise, like I've tried to tell them, in the future it'll be a superpower, you know? You nurture this. This will be your superpower.
You have the coolest job in the world, and yet your kids cannot see it. Did you watch the Late Late Toy Show? Did you see the family on where the granny cuckoo was, she taught all the kids, all the grandchildren how to play?
You know, I missed it because that's when I was in Australia. So unfortunately, I missed it. But I saw one of the girls that was on, the little girl that had written the songs and the rainbow song.
Yeah.
I met her at the, when I was
on the Late
Late Show.
She was on the following week, as well.
Yeah.
There's a family who are on from Wexford, and Cuckoo is the granny, and she's got like a million grandchildren. Every single one of them, she's taught them how to play a musical instrument or how to sing, and there was a little one doing Irish dancing as well. And I was watching this going, this is incredible. And sure, it turns out I knew them. I didn't realise.
Oh, no.
This little island of ours is so small, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So look, I'm delighted that you came on today, and I'm raging that we didn't meet in person, but sure, maybe next time. And
maybe next.
When you're announcing the big shows with the Corrs in Ireland, which I'm sure you will, won't you come back on and talk to me?
Absolutely.
You're a star. Thanks so much. Have a lovely Christmas, and best wishes to all the family.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.